Murchovsky, Sam Nation. Talk Radio 790 KABC, live from the Sweet James Studios in an undisclosed location on the right side of the Orange Curtain. 1-800-222-5222. Sam@samnation.com is the email. It's with great deal of sadness we talk about the news coming out of Barcelona. As you've heard, there was a terrorist attack, a series of attacks that occurred there in the Gothic Quarter area of Barcelona. If you're familiar with the city, La Rambla is a major pedestrian thoroughfare. Now, there is traffic on that street as well. And it's in a beautiful part of town. It's the Gothic Quarter is the oldest part of Barcelona. If you've been there, you've walked La Rambla. It's where all the stores are. It's where all the restaurants are. There are cafes outside. In the summer, this is when Europeans go on vacation. A lot of Southern Europe basically shutters in the month of August. Businesses close, factories close down, and people go on vacation. But areas like La Rambla stay open because of all the tourists coming from elsewhere that are vacationing in Barcelona. I have personally walked up and down the street many, many, many times. One of my close friends, who is now a law enforcement officer here in California, he studied there, got his master's at a university in Barcelona. So I visited him there, and this attack hits very close to home. The man who rented the van was a Moroccan, man of Moroccan descent, but a Spanish citizen. We know that. We know that ISIS has claimed responsibility. The death count is rising. There's somewhere, you know, in the 10 to 15 range, depending on the media outlet. And many, many people have been hurt and injured. About 80 plus is what's being reported throughout the afternoon. And that number is going up. There were reports of gunmen on the loose in the town. And as it so happens, one of my coworkers is just now in Barcelona and was, I believe, they were about a block away from everything that happened this afternoon. This would have been about 4:30 in the afternoon. So we're gonna go. I've got Miranda on the phone, and again, just so happens that some very good friends of mine were there, and I'm gonna. Miranda, are you there?
I'm here, Sam.
Hey, so how are you guys doing?
We're good. We're good. We're safe. We're safe.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. My gosh. So take me through it. What time in the afternoon? You're 9 hours ahead. What time your time did you start to realize that there was something going on?
Pretty much right as it was happening. So, I mean, we had just gotten home from a day trip to Montserrat, the big monastery, just about 30 minutes out of the city. And it was right when it happened, because it's right here. It's a block away from us. So
the media said that was, they said, sorry to interrupt. I mean, they said it was about 4:30 local time. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And we were just getting home. Clark and my mom went off to the Miro Museum, and the girls were too tired. So I stayed home, and we were about to head out to go buy more souvenirs, because it's our last night in Barcelona. We've been here for 6 weeks.
Oh my gosh.
So we were about to go out, go on the Ramblas, visit our favorite street performers. The girls had a routine. We had our favorite spots, and we were just about to leave. And then I saw a huge herd of people just running down our street from my balcony.
So I don't know if you heard my description. La Rambla, long straight street. Yeah. It's a pedestrian zone. Lots of cafes. I mean, I think I've described it correctly, right? And
you did.
And there's people out there basically at all hours. I mean, I remember being there at 3
all
in the morning
hours.
and it's busy.
Yep. Go
ahead.
No, go ahead. Yeah, you're right. That's exactly what it is.
The street runs basically
all hours of the day.
Yeah, the street runs all the way to the ocean, right to the beachfront from Midtown. So where were you when you noticed something was wrong?
Our Airbnb is situated like a block away, like a 3-minute walk from where the van crashed and ended at the Lisieux metro stop.
Oh my gosh.
So that's our stop. Like that's where we walk several times a day. That's our metro stop. That's our hub right there. That's where we start our day every day. And we were just about to go that way. And when I saw everybody running and the police were coming from both ends, I mean, they were on it. We didn't know what was going on. We couldn't get information. People were saying all different sorts of things. It was nuts.
Did you hear any gunfire?
No, we just did not hear any gunfire. Just heard a lot of screaming.
Right.
And a lot of people yelling in many different languages, run, 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 everybody run.
So you come out of your place and you see people running toward you away from La Rambla, away from the main avenue. Is that right?
Sort of. Yes, both. So we are kind of parallel to La Rambla. So I see everybody running towards the beach, going parallel to La Rambla. And that happened. And then a second wave of people came out, like a whole other herd came. Because the driver had escaped the van and he was running through La Boqueria, which is like the big open air market, the big ancient market that's famous.
Right.
And so he was making his way through there. And so a second wave of people came running down again, sort of parallel going towards the beach, parallel to La Rambla, just trying to find safety.
Was that guy running away? Did you ever hear, was he armed? Did he have a weapon or was he shooting?
I kept hearing that he had a gun, and then I kept hearing that he didn't have a gun, and I didn't hear any gunshots. From what I collected from everyone, he was running away. I don't know if he was armed, but we didn't hear anything. We just heard everyone just kept making like gun motions like he had one.
Right.
And we didn't hear any gunshots, but that was our biggest concern, was that he was armed. And so everyone was just grabbing people and pulling them into the apartment foyers and the storefronts, right, and shutting the big metal doors down.
Wow. Hey, I have this question that I think a lot of listeners will think about this too, because you know, many of us go on vacations, right? We go to big cities. You know, LA is not necessarily a big city. I mean, it's so spread apart. But we go to these big areas. You know, people go to Paris. They'll go to, wherever, you know, London, Barcelona. And then you hear about these attacks. And you think, how quickly do you realize that you're in it? So the question I guess I have is, there you are, where you had your kids with you. How quickly did you realize what it was, like what was going on? How did that come to you?
It took probably about 5 minutes for me to realize that this was serious. Because at first I thought, we kept hearing someone crashed into the market, to the Boqueria. Someone crashed into it. And so I'm like, oh, some crazy driver. And I'm thinking it's, you know, just like some drunk or someone just crashed their car. And so it took about 5 to 10 minutes for me to really come to terms that this is more than that. And that's when I started shutting the doors, and I immediately started locking our, we have these big,
that's a long time. I mean, 5 to 10 minutes is a long time.
It is. No, it really is. And it was very shocking to me that it's a delayed reaction. It was like, how serious is this? And because there's no information. And finally, when I think it really hit us, when we started seeing the police come onto on both sides of the street. Our street was parallel to where exactly the crash was,
right,
to where he ran down. And so when they started shutting down the streets and people were coming from the market, they were throwing their arms at us and telling everyone to run. And that's when I was like, oh, snap, everybody.
Yeah.
Close up shop. And then there were strange tourists who flew in, and like this big, my girl's in the bath. I went down to see if I could collect information, not knowing how serious it was.
I'm so sorry. You're breaking up a little bit, Miranda. Well, listen, I mean, I'm so glad you guys are safe. It's, I think, interesting for people to realize that this really can happen at any time. It can happen any place. Do you still must be in disbelief, right? That this happened.
Yeah, I'm kind of A little bit in shock, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
Well, travel home safe. I know it's very late. I really appreciate you.
Wish us luck at the airport tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to be a nightmare, right? I bet everybody's going to want to leave now, right? Even if they're supposed to stay three more days, who wants to hang around? It's going to be like this moribund place, you know, that was supposed to. Yeah, it's terrible. It's terrible. Well, I'll be interested to talk to you when you get back and hear what the mood is like as daybreak comes. Miranda, thank you, and tell Clark
hi,
and I appreciate you guys making time for me. Thank you.
Sam.
You bet. This is Miranda and Clark. They're good friends of mine. I work with her husband, and they, as it turns out, were right in the thick of it, a block away from La Rambla when the terrorist drove his van into a crowd of people. But these are the type of spots, by the way, that are prime targets for these van attacks. It's the same as it is. You remember in London when on the London Bridge, this is exactly the type of place, or the Westminster Bridge, excuse me, where you have a large concentration of pedestrians. And they can't get anywhere. You know, they're blocked in. And sadly, it's one of the most beautiful places in Barcelona. It's quintessential Barcelona. And like I mentioned, it's the oldest part, the Gothic Quarter, which is just to one side of La Rambla, is one of the most iconic parts of the city. And you have so many people there day and night, and they're walking about. Now, apparently, they do allow traffic to flow through the street. I remember this. They allow some amount of traffic to flow through the street. And then there are these, I would describe them as wide lanes, really wide sidewalks, big enough, I would say, to even maybe pass two cars. It could be almost like a two-lane road on either side of the street. That is open to pedestrians, that's open to cafes that are set up, tables, that type of thing. So imagine, I mean, if you're a terrorist, this is exactly the type of place that you intend to target. You've got captive people, and they are like sitting ducks. When we talk about terrorism, when we talk about this type of an attack, It's sobering to remember that it really can happen anywhere at any time to anyone. And unless you plan on sitting at home in your living room and just and staying out of harm's way, it's frightening. And you think to yourself, you know, this is just something that I see on that small TV screen. I always talk about how TV miniaturizes everything. It makes it smaller, it makes it more removed, it makes it seem more fictional in some respects. Until it happens to you, or until it happens to someone that you know. And that's, I think, why, and I'm so glad that we could do that phone call. This is my afternoon, I'm getting texts from people saying, my God, Clark and Miranda in the thick of it. She's on the street with her kids walking along. When all of a sudden, the wave, and this was described as multiple waves, the media has reported on this, it was actually a big thing. People got hurt in just the stampedes. Because all those people on La Rambla, every block, there's a little narrow street, and it's the Gothic Quarter, so these streets are not wide. We're talking about those little tiny European streets with the cobbled stones. You know, they're made for carriages and people walking and horses and donkeys. They're not made for cars, let alone incredible masses of people moving through them in high rates of speed. So it created this flush of people, these three to four stampedes as people were trying to get away from the car. And the people, obviously, that were in the front lines realized very early that it was that what they had on their hands was an actual unfolding terror attack. And you heard from Miranda, interestingly enough, she describes it as 5 to 10 minutes of trying to figure out what it is. Think about that. It's extremely interesting. All right, so I want to, when we get back, I want to give this some context, and it's too soon to really give it the full political workover, which I'm gonna get to tomorrow. But I want to give this some political context. There's other things going on too. I think as information comes in, I'll get into this in greater depth. But I do appreciate you being with us, talking about the La Rambla attack at Barcelona. And also we'll talk a little bit about everything going on here domestically and our own so-called domestic terrorism and where that fits into this story. All right, Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, here on Talk Radio 790 KABC, back right after this.
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky here on Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. We're following the terror attack in Barcelona. And we had on last segment a friend of mine. My good friends and coworker are in Barcelona, and his wife, who was on the radio, was with us here. She was about a block away on the street with her two kids, her two daughters, when the attack unfolded, described the wave of people running at her from two different sides. And the panic, thinking at first it was just an accident, and then realizing slowly with the police presence as people began showing up that, no, in fact, it was a real live unfolding terror attack. Described also, I thought interesting, was that the driver of the van wasn't stopped in the van, but he went running. He did a runner. And he went running through a crowded market of people, and that created further panic. And a second wave of people trying to get away from that down the little tiny side streets that come off of La Rambla. By the way, a little bit of a misnomer. In the media, they're describing this as the La Rambla district, which isn't exactly accurate. It straddles two different neighborhoods. One of them is the Gothic Quarter, and the other one, I forget the name, but it's a seedier part of town that is home, ironically, to a number of Moroccan immigrants. I know this because I told you I had a friend who lived in Barcelona and for a year, about a little over a year and a half, when he was getting his master's degree there. And I'd visit him, and he lived, of course, being a student, he lived in the poor district on the wrong side of La Rambla. We may find out, it's entirely possible, that the terrorist who perpetrated this attack were the terrorists, because we now know there were several of them. A couple of them had fled the scene, were stopped some 40 miles outside of the city, that they may have family, or they themselves may actually be residents right not far from where this attack occurred. Now, I am ready. I've decided I'm going to do this. I'm going to get ahead of the story, because this is what we try to do here on the program. It carries some risk, but I'm prepared to take that on. I, as your host, I take responsibility for this. So, what do we have here? We have for 4 days or so, since the attack in Charlottesville, been talking about a driver who drove his car into a crowd and injured quite a few people, didn't he? Killed one fine woman and injured many others. Now, this young man, by all accounts, is a disgusting racist, white supremacist guy. And we're finding out more and more about him as the days unfold. But the narrative from the Charlottesville rally, it's evolved, hasn't it? I mean, it's evolved into this conversation about how all of these alt-right people, in fact, hell, I mean, all these Trump supporters, they're basically Nazis. I mean, they're just horrible people. And they're all lumped into one big group. And I've told you how unfair I think that is. So here's my prediction to you. You take this, file it away, don't have to do anything with it just yet. But you will, within hours of this broadcast, I'm already hearing it now, but we'll wait for tomorrow and for next week to unfold. You will hear on CNN and other mainstream media outlets conversations along the line of, well, if this was ISIS and if this was a radical jihadist, We cannot let this reflect on Muslims and Islam in general. That is simply not fair. And I know this because, first of all, I know the mainstream media like the back of my hand. But I also, I've heard this so many times before. And these are then the same people that want to paint everybody on, let's say, on the right, a different group of people with the big broad brush, when one of them commits a heinous act. Now, if you think this is a provocative statement, stay tuned, because I am going to expound on it when we get back, okay? I want to take it apart. If you disagree with me, so be it. I want to hear from you, but I want to take this thing apart because it's an important point. And it's one that I think exposes a great deal of hypocrisy in the media and on the left. All right, don't go anywhere. We got John Wolf up next with the news. Back after this.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, here on Talk Radio 790 KBC Live, bottom of the hour, 800-222-5222 is the number. Sam at samnation.com is the email. Now, we're live from the Sweet James Studios following this breaking news story here out of Barcelona and everything going on there. But right before the break, I made a point, and I realize it's striking a nerve with many good people out there. I'm getting some calls. I'll get to you if I can. I've got to get through this point, so bear with me. Right before the break for the news, I made the point broadly that, look, you had one guy, white supremacist, maybe a Nazi, probably in the, you know, one of many people in the group of that is called loosely the alt-right by the mainstream media. Plows his car into a crowd of people in Charlottesville, one fatality, and many, many people grievously injured. In form, not different, as best as I can tell here, from what occurred in Barcelona earlier today. Right? You got a car ramming civilians. It's a terrorist act. Murder, plain and simple. So the answer is, then, examining the ideology behind the person who did it. And in examining the ideology of the person that did it, what was the conclusion that the mainstream media made about the guy, right? He's a Trump supporter. That's what they found out about him. Yeah, he's a Nazi, he's a crazy wingnut, he's a murderer, he's a disgusting person, all that. But he's a Trump supporter. And by implication, all Trump supporters are Nazis. That's what, you remember the guy last night? If you missed this, check out the podcast. He called me a Nazi. Man, don't worry. I slept like a baby. You see, but then these same people in the media and these same people on the left will look at these Islamic terrorists and go, well, this is not indicative of Islam as well at all. You can't paint Islam with a broad brush, Murjovsky. You Islamophobe. And all of a sudden, I'm a Nazi and an Islamophobe. I can't win with these people. But you get the point? Which is it? I mean, you could... You think I'm making this up. They're actually, these leftists out there, they're actually blaming the Nazi in Charlottesville for this attack that happened in Barcelona. I mean, this total ostrich head in the sand, typical CNN reporting. You want to hear this? So this is earlier today, Jim Sciutto talking with Wolf Blitzer. He's wondering aloud, I don't know who, somebody should have hit the dump button the minute that this was happening, but he's wondering aloud if Barcelona was a copycat of Charlottesville. And you'll first hear Jim Sciutto and then Blitzer answers.
5 days apart, you have white supremacists in Charlottesville use a vehicle to kill, and here you have attackers, at least following the modus operandi of terrorists, using vehicles apparently to kill as well. And that those shared tactics that should be alarming.
Yeah, and there will be questions about copycats. There will be questions if what happened in Barcelona was at all. A copycat version of what happened in Charlottesville.
I'm actually wondering if Wolf Blitzer has been lobotomized. Because I don't know. This guy is in the news. I mean, he's in the news business. I mean, Wolfie, he's like man on the front lines at CNN. He is the Situation Room. Okay, here's the situation, Blitz. I counted them up. 8 different vehicle attacks in Europe this year. That's, well, we call it, let's use round math. 1 a month. It doesn't exactly come out that way, but it's 1 a month. All Islamic terror, all ISIS and ISIS affiliates. You got one guy in Charlottesville, and all of a sudden, the next attack that happens, The ISIS copied the white supremacist. Chicken and the egg. That's case in point. You can't make this stuff up. All right, Sam Rojofsky, I'm going to talk more about this when we come back.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, the lawyer that we trust. One and only, sweet James Bergner. Now, look. If you've been in an accident, if you've been injured, you need to have the right attorney in your corner. You don't want to go at it alone. Maybe there's an insurance company. Maybe you have insurance. It's a simple thing of filing a claim with your insurance company, right? Wrong. That's not how it works. Go to your own insurance company. What do they want from you? Your premiums. What do they don't want to give you? Money for claims, right? That's how they make money. That's how they exist. So please, get a second opinion. Talk to somebody and make sure that somebody knows what they're doing. I can tell you who that person is. The guy we trust here, Attorney Sweet James Bergner. 1-800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. No recovery, no fee. Okay? Don't go with a budget lawyer. Don't go with somebody that's just, you know, fresh out of law school. You think you can get him cheap. No. Go with the guy, $400 million in verdicts and settlements for his clients. 1-800-881-2021. Visit his website, sweetjames.com, and tell him Sam sent you. All right. Back behind the Sam Nation microphone. Sam Rojofsky here. Following the breaking developments in Barcelona, just to recap quickly, there appears the first attack occurred around 4:30 p.m. local time. And this, by the way, is a significant period. This is right after this kind of the siesta time in the afternoon. You have people starting to emerge in the afternoon. And it's the very, very busy part of Barcelona. I was explaining, well, I had a friend of mine who they've been vacationing past 6 weeks in Barcelona. And on their last day, they're one block away from what happened on the street with their kids. Crazy story. So if you missed what they had to say, grab the podcast at samnation.com. It's a compelling account. But at any rate, you can't imagine, I mean, what this must feel like when you're on the street. And especially, by the way, I've got kids. I know many of you do as well. I saw photographs there of the street, maybe even a video there with people were walking through immediately after the attack, and there's empty strollers. You know, the immense vulnerability that we have, really, when we're just there in the path of an attack like this. It's really something to think of. You know, life is fragile, and so is intelligence. I read, you heard the clip right before the break? Wolf Blitzer wondering if Barcelona was a copycat of Charlottesville. And I was making the point broadly that it's interesting to me how the media is very quick to paint every single Trump supporter with the broad brush of Nazi, of white supremacist, of racist, okay, bigot. But then you have something like this attack happen, and you will hear for the next few weeks, we will hear nothing but logical gymnastics being performed by people making apologies for the ideology behind this attack that occurred in Barcelona. And I just want to point out some numbers that I think are very important. So, you know, you look at, I think math and statistics are interesting. You got about 5,000 Klansmen. Pew did some research into this. 5,000 Klansmen, 50,000 or so in the U.S., right? Only, right, 5,000, that's like nothing. Okay, it's a drop in the bucket. It's like half of a tiny town. 5,000 Klansmen, 50,000 broadly alt-right people. Now, if you look at the, you know how many people voted for Trump? 62 million. 62 million. Now, you know what that comes to when you look at those Klansmen there, percentage-wise? About 0.0008 of the population. Well, Pew did another research some while back, and I've talked to you about this before on the program, and I want to get to this when we get back, because it's interesting to look at what percentage of Muslims in certain countries believe, for example, well, let's say support Sharia, or heck, support suicide bombing. These numbers, this will shock you. And it makes Wolf Blitzer's comment that much more ridiculous. All right, Sam Rejofsky, don't go anywhere. Back after this.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. I saw a story here I was going to pull out in my stack of stuff just to lighten the mood a little bit today. And, you know, with all the terribly horrible news coming out of Barcelona, you know these genetic tests that people are doing? It's like very popular. I haven't done it yet. You send off, there's different companies that do them, but you give them a little swab sample, a DNA sample, you send it in, and maybe 4 to 6 weeks later, you get a profile back, and it tells you where you're from. And you see the ads on TV, too, right? People say, I'm surprised, I thought I was Irish, but, you know, really, I'm Australian, whatever the story is. Well, apparently, a series of white nationalists... You heard about this? They're getting their genetic ancestry test done and they're PO'd because they don't like what they find. There's a guy who's a major Nazi, probably went to this rally. Again, one of those bearded weirdo types. His name is Craig Cobb. And I guess this is a while back, but it's just making the news now, again, because of its relevance. He was on the Trisha show. And he totally rejected the DNA test that came back because they showed that he's 14% sub-Saharan African. We really are a melting pot. That's what makes racism so damn funny to me. I mean, who are you kidding? You know, in Southern California, half the time, you know, sometimes I play guess where that person's from. You can't. We are so mixed and blended, and you can't figure it out. You really it's impossible. We're just humans. That's it. Nobody's laughing. I don't know. I thought this was hilarious. Okay, so at any rate, let's go back to the Charlottesville, for example. Here we got. What did I tell you? That of the number of Klans, 62 million Americans voted for Trump, there's only 5,000 Klansmen. Tiny, tiny little percentage. I told you it was 0.00008 of the population. Oh, well, let's talk about this Pew study here. They looked at support for Sharia law. Now, Sharia law is Islamic law, and it relates to everything from well, some very plain things like money lending and prescriptions for how to live life, but also deals with some very strict punishment for adultery, homosexuality, for treatment of women, things that are extremely illiberal and inconsistent with our society. You'd be looking at some of these percentages of Muslims who favor this. Huge. I mean, in countries like Kenya, 64% of Muslims. Malaysia, 86% of Muslims. Russia, 42% of Muslims. Pakistan, 84%. Afghanistan, 99% of Muslims. And yet, the left doesn't want in any way, shape, or form ascribe any of... Oh, suicide bombing, that's another one. Killing innocent civilians. Palestine, 40%. Big number. 40% of Muslims think that that's okay. So I think it's interesting to me when all Trump supporters, they're just horrible, bigoted, racist, white nationalist people, even though it's a tiny sliver. The math, the statistics, a tiny sliver, okay? But then, oh no, we can't talk about these terrorists, can't relate to Islam in any way, shape, or form because, well, hey, nothing to do with it whatsoever. All right. Tomorrow, we'll talk about this more. Come back, 7 p.m. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, over and out.